This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Is your dog or cat having tummy troubles? Poobiotics may be the answer. And no, that wasn't a slip of the tongue. I meant poobiotics and not probiotics. With the intestinal tract being the largest immune system in the body, keeping your dog and cat's gut healthy is one of the best ways to ensure that you maintain your pet's body in top shape. Through a process known as fecal transplantation, poop from a healthy pet is given to one with GI malfunction, helping to reestablish a robust and vital intestinal microbiome. Dr. Holly Gans is a microbial ecologist and co-founder CEO of Animal Biome, a company that's mapping the DNA of bacteria in our pet's gut and producer of the little poop pill for pets. We'll be right back after this short break.
Tired of wasting money on giant bags, boxes, and jugs of litter that don't last? Switch to World's Best Cat Litter, the only litter that lets you use less and get more. World's Best Cat Litter uses the concentrated power of corn to deliver outstanding odor control and easy cleanup. It's lightweight, 99% dust-free, and pet, people, and planet-friendly. It's even flushable. Make the switch to World's Best Cat Litter and save $2. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Gans, thanks so much for being with us today. And oh my goodness, you must get some real strange looks when you tell people what you do.
Absolutely. It's a very unusual job that I have.
Yes. So number one, people may not be familiar with the term microbiome. What's that?
So the microbiome includes all the bacteria, fungi, viruses, and other little tiny things that live in and on our bodies and the bodies of our pets. And these microorganisms are essential for health in many ways, like you mentioned, with the immune system. And of course, things like digestion.
So I think most people think of bacteria being bad. And, you know, we use our hand sanitizers and we want to make sure everything is super clean. But in reality, we really need these bacteria. What do they do? The viruses, what does the microbiome do for our body?
Our gut microbiome is essential for digestion. And it helps with, we have a lot of immune function in our gut as well, because that's a way in which, you know, pathogens can get in our food. So they play roles in the development and function of our immune system. There's also something they call the gut-brain axis. So it also plays a role in our central nervous system and in communication there.
Wow, amazing. You just think this is, you know, the tube that takes food from one end and puts it out the other end. I know that one of the most common problems that I see coming through the doors of my practice is going to be vomiting and diarrhea. And people always just want, you know, what's that cure for it? It's like, boy, first I got to figure out what's causing it. How common are you finding GI issues?
This is a great question. We talk to a lot of people in order to try and figure that out, because it's not something you can just Google and get the answer. And what our research is showing is that it's at least 1 in 10 cats and dogs are suffering from a chronic GI condition. There are even more that might have periodic issues. And this isn't including food sensitivities, which are much more widespread and seem to be increasing.
So some of the common chronic problems, I know one of the things I see quite a bit in cats in particular is inflammatory bowel disease. And maybe it's not all the time, but okay, there's some vomiting. Oh, it's a cat. It's a hairball. And it's like, it's been going on a little too long. Or they're having diarrhea. And it's, especially if it's in the cat box, it's not a problem. But as soon as that cat or dog starts having problems on the rug, that's when they're going to start bringing that pet in. So things like fecal transplantation, it sounds really gross that you're giving poop from one animal to another animal. What's the science behind fecal transplantation.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a weird thing to do. And I sort of like to start sometimes by sort of explaining how it's similar but different to a probiotic. So I think most people have probably tried a probiotic, or maybe they've given their pet probiotics, which are typically bacterial and some fungi that strains that are used to help with things like diarrhea. And they can be useful. I use them a lot when I used to volunteer at the local shelter because a lot of pets there have GI issues. And it does seem to be helpful. The difference with a probiotic, though, is that it contains, instead of maybe tens of different strains of bacteria and fungi, it has literally thousands of strains. And these strains are all specific to cats and dogs, whereas the probiotics contain more general strains, some of which were isolated from soil and some come from human infants. And typically they aren't derived from healthy animals.
And your dog agrees with you that probiotics are important.
Yes, I'm really sorry to shut them out, but they're in flight.
They're happy.
They're very happy barking. So the idea, though, is that we're basically trying to take an animal that's missing certain taxa, which just seem to be really important in maintaining a balanced community in the gut, and reintroducing them. And so, there just is no other way to get these strains right now other than poop.
So you think of, all right, you have a dog that goes out and seems to be really a dog thing. A dog goes through the neighborhood and clients hate it when they go, my dog eats poop. So is this dog trying to do their own form of fecal transplantation, and is it effective?
This is something I'm very interested in as a researcher in my prior life at UC Davis. I was interested in what they call coprophagy and its role. There are not a lot of published studies sort of documenting, like demonstrating the benefits of this, but it seems like a good hypothesis that they're looking to augment their microbiome through eating the feces of other animals. But there's also theories that they're, like in the case of cat poop, which is, seems to be a particular delicacy for some dogs, that people think that it's the protein and there's nutritional value there, that because carnivores digest their food really fast, and so they're not extracting all of the nutrients. So I think it is possible that it's a kind of self-medication, but we are still sort of in the process of learning more about these things. I would say, though, that in general, it's not a good idea to let your dog eat other animals' poop, because you don't know what pathogens and parasites it might contain.
And if you can come up with the answer as to why dogs eat bunny poop, that seems, at least in my area, to be one of the delicacies. It's like, oh my goodness. And they oftentimes will pick up parasites. Most of the ones don't seem to be pathogenic or cause problems for the dog. But it's like, really? Bunny poop, guys? It's just grass that's been processed through a bunny's gut. I can see what you're talking about, the cat poop having all sorts of good protein and things left in it, but it's like bunny poop. So yes, you can make a fortune figuring out why they eat bunny poop.
Exactly. And bunny poop's not going to have all those nutrients. You're right. Yeah. So I've heard that before.
Well, talk to their dogs and see if they like bunny poop too. Backing up a little bit, when we're talking about some chronic GI issues, what are some of the most chronic GI issues and treatments that have been done, and are they typically effective?
Well, it seems like chronic diarrhea or periodic diarrhea that sort of flares up seems to be the most common, at least among the people we've spoken with. Although in cats, there are a lot of cats that vomit a lot and have way too many hairballs and seem to be unable to handle the fur passing through their gut. In addition, gastritis also seems to be fairly common with some animals, but where they can have sort of ulceration in the stomach. And we think that all of these things can be influenced by the composition of microbes in the gut, and also really influenced by the diet that they're fed.
I know hair and diet, stress seems to be a real problem for the underlying cause for a lot of these conditions. As I mentioned previously, I'm seeing a lot of inflammatory bowel disease, and inflammatory bowel disease is really just a catch-all, and it is so frustrating because in a cat, typically, it's vomiting or diarrhea. Oftentimes, you'll have weight loss, and every once in a while, it's a little bit of a pain in the rear end when you wake up in the morning and you walk out of your bed and you get in and you step on a pile of cat vomit. It's like, really good way to start the morning. But we know that when they have inflammatory bowel disease, when it goes on long enough, there's this real fine line between what's just inflammation for the intestines and what will turn into a type of cancer for these cats. And sadly, I have a dog right now that's being treated. It's had long-standing inflammatory bowel issues. It's done really well, and now it's done that tipping point where it just wasn't doing as well as it had been previously. Sent it to a specialist. They did some biopsies in the intestines and finding early cancer. So they can go from inflammation to cancer. I tell people it's somewhat like ourselves having going out getting a suntan, and you get a sunburn, and then you just keep inflaming your skin until pretty soon your body goes, that's it. I am now giving you skin cancer and not just a sunburn. So will things like fecal transplantation keep problems like that hopefully from happening?
I'm not sure. Hoping to do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, the link between IBD and gastrointestinal lymphoma hasn't been demonstrated yet, but others hypothesize that there is a connection. And in our understanding of, you know, the development of cancer in people, we know that states of chronic inflammation are correlated with the development of a number of cancers. And most veterinarians I talk to believe that there is an association there. We just need, you know, more research funding in order to really demonstrate that. What we're hopeful with in using these fecal transplants is to try and reduce that state of chronic inflammation so that then we can potentially avoid them developing cancer.
So this is not new. And maybe you should tell us, how did you get into this? I know you are not a veterinarian, but a PhD, and working together with veterinarians, you're really hoping to make a major difference in an area that's been so frustrating to get under control. How did you get into this, Dr. Gans?
I started this actually as a citizen science project when I was doing research in the microbiome of cats and some of their wild relatives. And we launched a citizen science project called Kitty Biome. And we offered that people could send in cat poop for a fee, and we would sequence the bacteria and tell them about it and tell them how their cats compared to other cats, healthy cats and sick cats. And it was really a way to do outreach for our research at UC Davis and engage people in science and also learn something about animal health. And it turned out that more than 20% of the people who participated in that project, and these were people who were not just my friends and family, had a cat with a chronic digestive condition and suspected IBD. And I really hadn't been exposed to how prevalent these conditions are. And they literally begged us to try and come up with better solutions. I found that in looking at the composition of gut bacteria, that I could see that they had a clear imbalance in the community and typically really low diversity or low numbers of the different types of bacteria compared to healthy animals. But the people told me that they didn't just want to know why their animals were sick. They really wanted a way to make them healthy again, of course. And so when I decided to create Animal Biome as a company, I developed this oral fecal transplant capsule as a way of making fecal transplants more widely available to people so that they could help their animals.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, when you came up with this citizen science project, you were charging people to send their pet's poop to you.
That's right. And we didn't promise them anything useful at that point. It was just a research project. A way
crowdfunding. People wanted to help science. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. And it turned out, I think it was cool, but not directly for their animals.
This is not new science, though, because I know in veterinary school that they used to do it, and they're still doing it in general medicine, especially for cows and horses. You know, they'll get poop from some other animal. They'll put a tube down its throat and give this slurry of poop. And it's usually the veterinary student who's the lucky one who has to administer it. But you came up with the idea to do it now for pets. How do you collect the poop? You know, how do you find your donors for healthy poop?
Well, so yeah, this is a practice that goes back to the 18th century, particularly for ruminants like cattle and sheep. And it's sort of a messy procedure with tubes and usually the students. In the case of we came up with sort of a way in which we can deliver the fecal transplant in a capsule so that it's given orally. And so it doesn't have to involve sort of the messy in-office procedure that the veterinarians who do offer fecal transplants have to go through. And this makes it more affordable and more convenient for people. And the way that we get the poop is we have a small and growing pool of healthy donors who are animals that have no health problems. They have to be sort of in their prime. They can't be too young or too old. They can't have any behavioral issues. They have to have a diet that's high quality. And we also look at the composition of microorganisms in their gut to make sure that it looks balanced. And of course, we screen and make sure that they're not transmitting, they wouldn't be transmitting any parasites or pathogens.
So are these kitties that are living in a research facility, or are they just a cat like you and I have at home, and we just have this gold mine of poop that I keep shoveling and scooping and throwing out every day? Am I throwing away money that I could be sending over to Animal Biome?
That's right, you are. We call it golden poo. We do find that it's hard to find donors that sort of meet all of our criteria, but for those that have perfect poop and are completely healthy, it's definitely something that could be very helpful to other animals.
And how about dogs? So here you have a dog that's going out and about and going into the neighborhood. How do you make sure? I guess you have to screen each sample of poop that comes through your door. Lucky mailman.
Right. Yes. So in the case of cats, we started with indoor cats. It was easier to sort of feel like we could control their exposure to having parasites or pathogens be introduced to them. But in the case of dogs, right, that's not ideal. When you want dogs, they go outside regularly. And we do screen every single poop that goes out in our capsules, which makes it a little bit more expensive. But I think if you're going to do fecal transplants, you want to make sure that you're not giving a sick animal, giving them a new problem by introducing a parasite or pathogen.
You have a great job, and I feel really sorry for your lab technicians, but I don't want to feel sorry for anyone else, so we're going to take a small break. We're going to be right back talking to Holly Ganz, a microbial ecologist, CEO, founder of Animal Biome. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops, get the 3rd bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Ganz, I just think this is one of the most unique things I've ever spoken to a researcher, an interviewee on this show. I think it is amazing. It's so different. People are thinking, I'm sure this is really gross, but I'm sure some people are listening going, but my pet has normal poop. Do I need something like Animal Biome and poop pills? What would you say to those folks?
Well, we are finding that there are some animals who seem healthy who do also have a low diversity of gut bacteria. And so it can be useful to do an assessment. We believe that in the future, these kinds of assessments will be part of healthy annual screening because we think we can use them to predict the development of various conditions in the future. We're still developing these predictive capabilities as we grow our database. And more recently, we did a Kickstarter and to recruit healthy dogs who wanted to contribute their poop and see if their poop was golden compared to the other dogs in our database. And so it can be a way in which you learn about your animal as well as help us to develop treatments and remedies to improve the quality of life for sick animals.
So a listener right now says, all right, I want to see if my pet has golden poop, if everything is normal. How do they go about finding out?
We sell microbiome assessment kits on our website at animalbiome.com, and they can go on and order one of these kits. And what happens is we'll mail them a sampling kit with supplies, including gloves, for them to collect a very small fecal sample that they put in a little vial and mail back to us. And then we take that sample and extract DNA from it, and then we use what we call next generation sequencing to sequence all the different kinds of bacteria that are in the sample. So then we basically send them a report in which we tell them how their cat or dog compares with healthy cats and dogs in our database and what the main bacteria that we find and how common they were. And then we're still working on a designation for golden poo, but we've got certificates lined up. And so we're starting to make some awards.
So you can frame this and put it up right next to your poop bags or your kitty box litter scooper. And yes, your pet has golden poop. I mean, we all want our pets to have golden poop. It's amazing how many of my clients really have become scatologists. They understand. I get many a photo that's uploaded so they can send it to me going, look, it's having diarrhea, or look, it's better. I'm just glad we don't have smell-o-vision right now, because I know some of them would be rather rank. So Dr. Gans, they do this, they send in the study, or they send in a little bit of poop, and the gloves, et cetera, so you don't handle the stuff with your bare hands. And now you come back going, it seems like it's normal stool, but your study is saying, the DNA of your pet's poop is not golden. What can they do?
Then they may want to consider altering the diet in a way that will promote the growth of bacteria that may be less common in their pet's poop. They may want to add probiotics to the mix. There are various things that people can do, but I would say diet is the main thing that they may want to look into.
At that point, they don't need poo pills?
Well, some people are doing the poo pills preventatively, and there's no reason not to. We think that because we're doing all of this careful screening, they're unlikely to cause any harm, and they may be beneficial. It's harder to measure a benefit if they're not having, you know, conditions like diarrhea. But we do package the poo pills with 2 microbiome assessments so that you can see how your pet compared before taking them and after, to see which bacteria were introduced as a result of of taking the poo pills, which is very different than probiotics, which typically don't colonize the gut of animals taking them.
So as you're just saying, you take this poo pill, it has bacteria that maybe your body is lacking, and it's not just going to go flying straight through. It has a chance of glomming onto the intestinal tract walls and staying there and colonizing. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Awesome. Amazing.
And one thing that's sort of an important thing to think about with fecal transplants is the example of the Clostridium difficile infections with people, and how it's a life-threatening condition that some people develop where they're just missing certain groups of bacteria that seem to keep the microbiome of people in balance. And they're able to either, by a traditional fecal transplant or even with oral capsules, reintroduce key bacteria that are able to rebalance the community. And we're finding similar things with cats and dogs with IBD.
So people are listening right now going, wait a minute, I think she just said that people are taking poop pills also.
Yes, it's a thing.
It's a thing. Okay.
Yeah. So we've heard of going up the other end.
Exactly. I was going to say, you know, you hear about people thinking it's going to clear themselves out by having these high colonics and you're taking everything out. Now we're actually putting it in the other end. God, we're having a really good conversation here today. Okay. So Dr. Gans, I think this is, again, one of the most interesting conversations. The animal biome studies that you're doing, really using the services of citizens who just want to know more about their own pet's health, hopefully helping other pets that are out there. This science that is now available, where are you hoping that it's going to go?
It's a great question. So we have a lot of vision for the future. And what we're hoping is that we're going to try and basically reverse engineer all of the good parts of the poo, and be able to basically create a next generation probiotic that contains these communities of bacteria and fungi in the right ratios that come from cats, and be able to provide them to cats in the future, and same for dogs and probably horses as well and other animals in the future. And do this in a way where we don't have to have a pool of donors, but we can actually grow these things in the lab. And in addition, because every individual has differences in their microbiome, and what we're missing can be different from one individual to another, we also plan to have a whole line of different blends and have these be tailored for each individual, or at least, like, you know, 7 different kinds of them, so that you can say, oh, I need type 3 for this condition, and be able to match the pet with the right next generation probiotic.
So now giving pills. I have 2 cats, and giving pills is one of the most difficult things, even for me. My own cats don't realize it. It says DVM after my name, and they don't believe I'm a veterinarian. I'm just mom. And they give me as hard a time as I know many of my clients have with their pets. What size are these capsules? Are they big? Can you mix them with food? How do you get it down your pet's throat?
Yeah, this is definitely more of a problem for cats than dogs. My dogs are very easy to pill, but we've had a lot of people say that they have trouble pilling their cats. In general, we recommend pilling because we coat the capsule so that it can pass through the stomach and get into the intestine. But we definitely have people who aren't able to do that. And so some of them will mix it with like water and food and use in a syringe and syringe it into them. So they are breaking open the capsule, which, you know, isn't optimal, but I definitely think that some of the microorganisms will be able to pass through the stomach and still colonize. It just might be not quite as effective.
And I think one of the things you can always do is go to your veterinarian and have them demonstrate how to give it. Because sometimes there's just little nuances or little pilling guns that it's a little tube that you can put the pill in and wrap the kitty up burrito style so you only have the head sticking out. And having someone demonstrate how to use one of these little pilling tubes can really make life so much easier for all parties involved. I'm sorry, you were going to say also about giving the pills?
No, that's absolutely right. The kitty burrito is something I've done before. I had a cat who was semi-feral and she became diabetic and I had to give her all kinds of treatments. And I definitely recommend the kitty burrito approach. And there are like various pill shooters available that you can buy on Amazon and other places online. And a lot of people have made nice videos for demonstrating how to do this because it is something that's very challenging for a lot of people.
I love videos. I learn so much from them. So you're giving these pills, and once you give it, okay, thankfully, the GI issue has settled down or the pet seems to be doing better, whatever it is. Do you have to keep giving it the rest of their lives?
No. So we intended this to be something that was just done for about a 3-week period. So we recommend doing 2 capsules, one in the morning, one in the evening with food, and for about 25 days, so 50 capsules. Sometimes you may need to do a second course, but for a lot of animals, they're able to respond to a single course of capsules.
So, Dr. Gans, if people wanted to learn more about Animal Biome, where should they go?
Animal Biome has a website at www.animalbiome.com.
One word.
You can also email me at Holly, H-O-L-L-Y, at animalbiome.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having, I really shouldn't say it, a shitty job, but us pet owners really do appreciate it. It is such a common problem, and there's something that is so natural that can be given to help their intestines. Great. And I think a lot of people listening would want to get involved and be a citizen scientist because it gives you such a great feeling knowing that you're helping others. Well, this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. We've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. And if you do have any questions like, I've always wondered about whatever, just drop us a line and I'll get it on the show for you and answer your questions. So thank you so much. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.